You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Zero.
We're on the air.
Did you say zero? And then, by the way, the check that I write, there's a big one for the ENO. That is a deduction that comes out of the regular account, but then the one they automatically deduct is not.
It's not. Okay, now I got you.
So I got my CPA sitting here, and we're talking taxes, which I genuinely don't like. And he loves, because that's how he makes a living.
That's right. You know? And now it's all exciting, Joe. We got a lot of changes coming down the pipe.
Maybe.
Right.
I mean, it's an interesting thing. By the way, we can't talk politics on the show.
I'm afraid not.
We're not going to do that. So I was listening to Hillary on the way in, but I'm not going to talk about it. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. This is the Team Martech Hour. Today we have special guest, our messy maniac Jew. Excuse me. That's not the way I'm supposed to phrase it.
It's a messianic.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Alan Love is here.
Joe, let's start off with some good news. When we left last Wednesday, your son was in the middle of some very serious surgery.
I heard that.
But the report is pretty good. So you want to update us, please?
I had to pick on Alan first. If you haven't noticed, I'm in a pretty good mood today. And last Wednesday, I was not what you call in a very good mood. For those of you that prayed and listened and called in and prayed, thank you. My son, when he was 17 years old, fell out of a tree, broke his back. He's been in a wheelchair ever since. He's paralyzed from the waist down. Now, all said and done, the last year now, he's in his early 50s, he had multiple surgeries on his back, his shoulder, etc., and he was in a lot of pain. Whether the surgeries went right or wrong, I don't know. So what he was doing was self-medicating with every type of pain pill you could think of, I'm sure, which I didn't ask and I'm not asking. But then all of a sudden, he was rushed into the hospital, passed out, blood pressure 50 over 20, which means he had about 20 minutes left to live. He was on a colostomy, still is, and he actually blew out full of blood. They pumped blood into him immediately and pumped more blood. And before the whole thing was done, within a couple of days, they went through 13 units of blood plus other fluids. Mm-hmm. But literally, the part that was most worrisome to me is he lost his desire to live. He was in, when he was in a terrible, terrible mood. So when I asked everybody to pray last week, two things happened. One, he survived the last surgery. They took a third of his stomach out, part of his bowels. He's now out of intensive care in a room. He's on morphine drip for pain, which is understandable, so he'll probably become a drug addict on the other side forever. But hey, the bottom line is that can be handled. And his attitude is good. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for those that prayed. It was an extremely trying couple of days there. There's no way, and I was talking to Tom about this, who lost two kids, there's no way anybody can understand what you go through with a child unless you've gone through it yourself, and nobody wants to go through it, and nobody wants to talk about it. But the good news is that he's on the mend. He'll be in the hospital for a while, then he'll be in rehab. He has a whole bunch of sisters and other women that are come over and fawning all over him, which I'm sure he's taking advantage of, which is only good, you know, which I, which we all understand as men.
I would.
You know? Yeah, right. I mean, what else is new there? So that was all the good news. Okay. Anyway, so I'm in a much, 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 much better frame of mind today. And understand that Joe Martek's a financial advisor, and sitting with me today is Vince Rizzino, CPA. We have other members of the team, which is Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Mr. Michael Paulus, mortgage broker, Greg Fasula, attorney. And the concept of our group, none of us house together. We don't share office space. We don't share commissions. We don't share fees. When we started assembling the group, the concept was to put together experienced local professionals with integrity, experience, capabilities, and we've been very, very, very fortunate that we've been able to assemble what I consider the, a really, really, really talented group of people. And if we added Alan Love, guest attorney, in here, we'd have over 7,000 years of experience, because because attorneys charge by the minute, you know, by they said they get to double, triple, right?
You expect me to respond to that?
Anyway.
It's billable years.
Yeah, I know, right? Billable years, right? There's so many jokes about billable hours that attorneys have. Anyway, I did tell one of them on the show a few weeks ago, which I still think is a great joke, but most attorneys don't like it for some reason. I can't figure that out. Anyway, so the concept basically is to help people with all of these different questions, and when you have a slew of experience from local professionals, we've been able to help a lot of people. And in fact, I've got to tell a story that I actually told on our sister station, which they hate that word, sister station, but I don't care. WPSL Talk is an AM talk radio show that we do every Wednesday at 11 a.m. And it, some things that we do, we obviously don't get paid for these things, but they're very, very gratifying because we're doing something good. And a few weeks ago, we had a lady call in, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to think ill of me the way I'm saying it, but this lady's son had died, and he had been dead for 6 years. She was an African-American, and she had been trying to talk to the company that her son worked for now 6 years, in order to find out about his pension or retirement benefits, and they had been giving her the runaround. So I just said, oh, I love these things, and I genuinely do. I get perverse pleasure out of intervening because, you know, Vince, I don't think, Alan, you can't intimidate us old guys with whatever. We've heard it, seen it. I don't care. And so literally we've been working now for a couple of weeks, maybe three, just kind of being nice, but being persistent and getting the runaround and getting some problems. And finally, yesterday, we finally got a person that said, okay, I'll help you.
Wow. God bless them.
Yep. So now we're getting the death certificate from the son. We'll find out who the beneficiaries are. And whoever it is that gets the money, they're going to get the money.
Good.
If they had no beneficiary written down, which does happen occasionally, it would go to his estate, which would then his mom would be in the pecking order at the top of it. And it might be. Anyway, this becomes a legal thing, but that's an insignificant part. But that is goodness from my heart. I mean, I just feel good when we can actually accomplish something like that.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful.
That's wonderful, Joe.
Yeah.
It's a very heartwarming story.
Well, you know, it warms my heart that we're the ones that were able to help this person. Because, mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to tell you, I can get a little upset on occasion when people get taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. Most people would not always put together nice guy Joe. Say what? Which Joe was they talking about? Bulldog Joe, I can take. You know, because when somebody is wronged, I can come unglued if need be. No, we didn't have to. The good news is this company.
How many people at the insurance company did you have to talk to get relief?
Well, it wasn't an insurance company.
Oh, it was
the actual employer.
Oh, employer.
So now from the employer, we have to get to the pension fund people, which is okay. But once the employer is helping us rather than hindering us, but we talked to probably, Well, let's put it this way. We probably have 5 or 6 hours on the phone, being on hold, being transferred. You know how that works? And nobody comes on, and then they hang up on you after an hour.
Most big companies work that way.
I mean, it's laughing when it's not you, but when you're doing it, it really has a tendency to upset you.
Of course. Yeah. Sure. And there's money involved
here. Oh, you know, whether it's $1 or $50,000, it makes no difference. There's a principle here that that's not their money, that company's money. This is the money of the deceased, his estate.
Right.
Or and if the people that he worked for did the job correctly, Lord, and forgive me, that if is the magic word, they would, when he established this pension or savings account with the company, they would have written down a beneficiary.
Right. They did their job.
If they did mm-hmm. their job. So that makes me feel good. But I got to tell you another funny one, though,
mm-hmm.
which is not too funny, but it's funny to me because it's not me.
Oh.
So I got a client, and I'm helping his significant other move money, which is a 401k, away from the employer because she left the employer, now into a self-directed IRA.
Okay.
No big deal for me. This is pretty easy stuff to do. Well, in the meantime, the average person doesn't think about this on a daily basis, that you can do these things. So in the process of helping her, he comes up and he says, you know, I used to work for a big company, and I think I actually have some money with them. And I said, really? Well, find me statements, find whatever you can. Took him a couple weeks. He found them for me. And he's got, looks like, $35,000 sitting in there. So I call up the company and get somebody on the phone, and they said, well, yeah, we can transfer some of that, but not all of it. So I go to see him, and we got paperwork. I get stuff that they have to send in and to fill out, call him up, and we get a new person who says, nope, cannot transfer any of it. Our charter says he can't have it till he's 65, and he's not 65 for 3 more years, so he cannot have it till he's full retirement age, and that's our charter. I said, well, this guy, Brian, you go, Brian's mistaken. It is not the way it is. I'm 100% on this. It was one of those things that, Vince, you get on the phone and you ask the question 3-4 times and you pursue without getting nasty. And I did, and got convinced totally that he's stuck until age 65. Okay. So much for the $35,000 and the fun he was going to have with it. So then we hung up.
Did you ask for a copy of the charter?
Well, not yet, but we're getting close.
Okay. Part two of the story.
All right.
Yeah. You know, you don't want to rush right into these things.
I understand.
You know.
I'll tell you a story. Go ahead.
So then I'm sitting there. Now, he got divorced. This is back in the early 90s.
Whoa.
And I said, you know something? I'll bet you your ex-wife is the beneficiary on that account. You should have seen his eyeballs get big. And you should have seen new woman's eyeballs get bigger.
Yeah, but he could change that.
Well, yeah. So
as
what
long as he doesn't die in the meantime.
It's funny you should say that, because I call her back, same girl, get her on the phone, and I said, and she looked it up, and sure enough, it was his ex-wife that was on there.
Mm.
So I very specifically said, if he writes a letter with his account number, with all the stuff on there, and says, renounces the old beneficiary and puts a new beneficiary name in with date of birth and social security number, he signs it and I witness it, will that suffice? And she said, yes. I said, okay, because I'm going to handwrite the letter, he's going to sign it, I'm going to send it to you, and I'm going to ask for you to verify the fact that you got it so that we know for sure that this has now been changed. Is that okay? She goes, oh yeah, no problem. So I'm not done with the charter part yet. I want to get this out of the way first.
Well, I was thinking, are you going to fax it to her?
Already been done.
Okay. I was going to say, because then you can confirm immediately if she
exactly.
got it. Okay.
That's receipt.
Yeah.
But
you still have to send them the original, I imagine. You're going to send a certified letter?
But what I'm, yeah, what I'm, FedEx. So FedEx, what I'm, same thing. So what I'm looking at is I want them to acknowledge and send him, because there's nothing like, and I said the same thing you did. I said, okay, stay alive for a few days until this gets done. And then this new house you're buying, does it have two stories? And he said, why? And I says, well, you know, your new wife's going to get all this money. I wouldn't walk down the stairs in front of her after this gets taken care of.
Now, is this his second wife, obviously.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that she would be the beneficiary.
No, but we changed it
does
to her.
Does he have children from the
no.
first?
No.
Oh.
But we changed. Well, you yeah, but you when you're alive, you can make the beneficiary whatever you want.
I'm just saying you made an assumption it would be his wife.
Yeah, but they also one of the things that happens when you have a pension account or a 401k and you move to another employer or you're taking it out of there, they often question is, are you married? Mm-hmm. If the answer is yes, then we need your spouse to agree to let you move that money.
Right.
If you divorced, yes. Oh, we need a copy of your divorce papers. So this was all part of this process, which I had sent the divorce papers in, showing that he wasn't. But now then the latest wrinkle, he can't have the money till he's 65. And then the latest wrinkle was that his ex was on it. Now the latest is going to be a copy of the charter so that I make sure that they're.
Well, you bring up, Joe, a classic problem. It's a good thing you brought it up.
Yeah.
Because this is a pure example of how things could have gone drastically wrong for this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had he found out, or the family found out, that he passes and it went to an original beneficiary.
Yeah.
It's not really really appropriate at this time.
And
so
guess
you
what
happened? Check your beneficiary.
Well, and here comes a bigger thing. And I've had people say, "Well, I've got a will," and I said, "Forget it. That will is useless. A trust is useless because these documents, whether it's a life insurance contract, whether it's an annuity." Mm-hmm. If you have a transfer on death on a bank account, on a brokerage account, those things take precedent to a will or a trust. They count. You can say all you want, but this was done before that was done. And even if it was done after the will or the trust, as long as that document, that is the one that takes precedent. Now, you can go to court and fight all you want, but the odds are really, really, really good that whoever's written down as the beneficiary is going to collect that money. So, and you can change beneficiaries as long as you're alive. I mean, magic little thing. It's hard to do after you die, but literally, this is something, and you just said it, Vince, and I've seen it happen with life insurance, where somebody died and the ex got the money, and boy, you want to talk about an upset, you know. There was no intent. It was a forgotten instrument. So, you know, literally, I have another minor story, but I took care of an old lady for 10 years, had power of attorney, and, you know, just I took care of her. And she died. 6 months after she died, I got a letter from Metropolitan Life Insurance that she had life insurance. Now, what happened is I was the one that signed the death certificate, so they reached out and they found me, which was very impressed because I've heard different stories that different companies may not always do that, but Metropolitan did. It made me very, very much believer that was a, you know, it's a good solid company. So I called him up and I said, "Okay, I'm power of attorney. How do I get the money?" He said, "You cannot have it." And I said, "Why not?" "Because you got to be a blood relative." Because in her life insurance contract, her beneficiary was her husband, who was long dead, and there was nobody else. So now we had to go to a blood relative.
Very important, Joe. I had another client, which is the worst case scenario, one of the IRAs, which had several hundred thousand dollars in it, they didn't assign a beneficiary.
Oh, boy. Oh,
no
boy.
Beneficiary.
Terrible.
So what happened? Wow. Goes to the estate, and guess what? It's taxable.
100% subject to tax.
It's taxable to the estate. So see, you can't even get the benefit of a rollover and then have it extend over the beneficiary's life. So
well, let's use an example. You know, Vince, you're not taking any distributions out of your IRA. Mm-mm. Okay, and you're not going to probably till you're 70 and a half when you have to start taking.
Unless I need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless you need it. But once you start taking a required minimum distribution, that sets a pattern up based on your age. So if you die, that now inherited IRA goes to somebody else, and they have to keep taking it under most circumstances.
They step into your shoes, literally.
Step
into your
shoes.
Whatever your lifespan was, they would take it the same period.
Now, if you aren't taking your RMD,
that's a different story.
They inherited at their age.
Exactly.
So literally, Vince dies, he leaves his IRA to his daughter, who's 35 years old. She now has an IRA she doesn't have to touch until she's 70.
And it might be 50 years. So you go 70 and a half, rather. So it could be another 35 years. She wouldn't have to take anything.
Yeah, and then that money would just continue to grow, and it could be substantial. Then
that's
an
important distinction.
Oh.
Taking it before you start collecting.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you die when you're collecting, it's one thing. If you die and you haven't collected yet, it's something else.
So these are rules that we take for granted, Vince and I, as we're sitting here. Because we have real cases that this happens to us all the time. And some of them are very sad. I mean, donating money to the government for no real reason. I mean, you have to pay taxes to live in America. Nobody enjoys paying taxes. Nobody. I mean, I guess maybe somebody does, but I don't know who that is.
Well, I'm still waiting for the day when I have to pay $1.5 million.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. But you have to buy lotto tickets in order to take a chance.
Because I agree with you, Joe. Everything's relative.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get a $100 million lottery and you have to pay $30 million in.
Oh, okay.
What a shame. I got to give up $30 million. I got $70 million in my
heartbeat. Right. Yeah. Just remember when you hit, I'm going with you on the jet that you're chartering collect.
We're all going to have a nice weekend.
We'll have a nice weekend, right. Unfortunately, it'll be in Tallahassee, but that's close to Biloxi.
That's true.
We can slip over.
Absolutely. You know, there's an overriding factor in the stories that you gentlemen have just discussed, and that factor is human nature. And what I mean by that is when it comes to the final phases of our lives, we don't want to spend the time that's necessary to get those affairs in order fact that it's not a pleasant topic.
No.
But what it does is it makes plenty of money for CPAs, attorneys.
Oh, boy. How about the word probate?
Mm. Yeah.
Did you see the worst thing and the most frustrating thing, Al, is when somebody comes to you with a problem like that and you know had they spoken to you earlier, they could have fixed it.
Oh, yeah.
It's so frustrating. You know, why didn't you come forward? Now, I ask my clients, every one of them now, first thing, do you have a will?
Yeah.
And you know how many of them say no?
Most.
Surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a sad thing. Yeah, Vince and I talk about this all the time. I figure it's one of my responsibilities is to stir the pot. It's called estate planning. I just called, are you ready to die? Well, God and I are fine. I said, okay, fine. How about the tax man? Mm-hmm. Well, what about that? Okay, if you don't have a will or a trust, the state's got it all figured out for you, and your family's not going to be happy.
You know how many clients I've had over the years, Joe, that said to me, what do I care? I'll be dead.
Isn't that sad?
It is. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? You would rather see the government get it than your own legatees.
See, I wish we had live TV right now because we have an attorney sitting here, and when you say the word probate,
ooh,
it always puts a smile on their face and they start rubbing their hands together. Now, you were a prosecuting attorney, so it doesn't quite feel the same, but you had compadres out there that lived off of probate.
Well, many trust and estate attorneys said to me that the worst word in their practice is intestate.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is die without a will or a trust. Yep. Because then the state makes all of your decisions. And by statute, there are certain percentages like the mother or your wife or your sister will get. But you have no control. If you don't have it on a piece of paper that is documented and filed properly, the state says you died intestate, meaning without a will or a trust.
Let me give you a real example.
Yeah, go ahead.
A real example. So I've got a client, husband and wife, married forever and ever. They had a trust. Now, they were very private. Normally, when people have a trust, I said, okay, good, give me a copy of it. And I need to have, when I have a trust as a beneficiary on something, I normally have to have the front page and the signature page. And then I send it in to whichever company we're dealing with. And they then know that it's a legitimate thing because the dates and the signature and notarized, so it makes it there. But without the meat in the middle, I don't know what it says, who's going to get what or whatever. So husband and wife, husband dies, wife calls me up and says, Joe, husband died, I need to go and put the house in the trust. And I said, your house isn't in the trust? That's normally the very first thing an attorney does, is put your house in the trust. No, the attorney said when one of us dies to come back and he'd put it in the trust then. So Dan and I were sitting there, and Greg Fasula, attorney, is sitting with us. All of us are there. And we looked at Greg and said, Greg, why would an attorney do that? Now, Greg, the attorney, he goes, gee, I'm not sure. There might be a reason. And Dan says, yeah, greed. He gets to charge an extra fee. So here, Joe Martek's saying, okay, I'll tell you what, we will eliminate this attorney from this picture. I will take you down to the courthouse. We will add you to the trust, which is real simple for me to do, and you can buy me lunch. So instead of $200, $300, $400, whatever this attorney was going to charge, cost you $20 or $10, you know, it depends on which restaurant I can get you to go to, maybe five for a McDonald's or something. But anyway, so we go to the courthouse.
You'd have coupons for McDonald's.
Right.
You get it for $8.
So then we go to the courthouse, and she said, okay, fine, I can put you on the house on in your trust, but I can't take your husband's part and put it in. We said, why not? Well, because the deed to your house does not say husband and wife. It says his name and her name.
Right.
So now think about this logically. Vince, if you and I own a house together, obviously we don't look like husband and wife. I hope not. No, ooh, woof, scary thought.
God help us.
I know. Anyway, I look at us and say, hey, we're partners, right?
Right.
Now, if it doesn't have any designation on there, we are both owners of that house. I die, my half goes to my estate. Mm-hmm. You die, your half goes to your estate. Mm-hmm. Unless we put on there JTWROS, joint tenants with rights of survivorship. Or if we're married, all we have to do is say H/W, and in the state of Florida, it would automatically go to the spouse. It didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened is it had to go through probate. They had three kids. Luckily, they weren't stepchildren. They were all their natural children. But the kids had to sign off
right
on mom's house.
Right. It's a special filing.
Yeah. It's a special filing.
Greg taught me that one. Yeah. You can. Yeah. The children can get your house.
Yeah.
They've got to go through a court filing to prove that they are who they are.
They could take the house away from mom because mom's only entitled to 30% of dad's half.
Mm.
The kids are entitled to the rest of it. So, I mean, hey, we can kick you out, Mom. You know, what I'm trying to say is they wouldn't do it. Now, I had one other case, and this is a couple down in Palm Beach County, and he was a minister. I don't know that he ever got ordained or not, but it made no difference. Good guy, good solid family, and he worked for a good company, and he was part-time preacher, and they bought, over a period of years, 8 or 10 rental properties. None in her name, all in his name. Not on purpose, just because that's what he did. And nobody advised him, which is very sad. So then he dies. She wants to go get the properties. Well, good. She gets a third of it, or 30%. The kids get the rest. So she ended up spending the next 3 years selling these properties at her expense, her time, because the kids could care less.
They didn't try to do the right thing?
But these were stepkids, too, which made it even worse. So they didn't do the right thing for sure. They did what they wanted for them. So mom finally settled, but it took her about 3 years to settle to get it all done. Anyway, the key that we talk, and then Vince and I talk, and Alan, I know for sure if you were counseling somebody, it was called get the horse and the cart in the proper order. And it becomes, when I talk to somebody that's got a 401k at work or a pension at work, I'm going to say, hey, double check your paperwork and make sure you've got the right beneficiary's name. And if you ever want to change or add, you can do this at any time.
And please don't wait until the last minute to do this planning. Because I had somebody come in about a year ago. The mother had a house in her name, and then she needed to get into a nursing home. Guess what?
Oh, boy.
She's wanting to know, well, what can we do with this house?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's nothing you can do about it now. So it's subject to pay the bill, and so that money could dissipate. Now, there are ways you can retain some, but you need to do it early in the process.
Well, number one, if you have a homestead, the homesteads are exempt from attachment by creditors. And you can get Medicaid if all you have is the homestead. But I got to tell you, nothing here is easy.
Not if you get into a nursing home.
I know. It becomes a bit of a problem. So
plus the question of homestead, Joe, that's an issue that's also
now you're no longer in the house.
You're no longer in the house.
Yeah.
So that's not your
homestead. I know.
So you got issues. So the thing is, if you're going to do estate planning, do it way before. There's a 5-year look back, Joe.
Of course. Now
they may up that to 10 or 15.
Who knows? But there are some subtle little things. This is one of my more favorite ones. Now, this is not in every state, but it is in Florida. Back to being a husband and wife. Here we are together. And if the wife goes into nursing home, with her goes her income, with her goes her assets to pay for the bill. When she's finally broke, and I forget the word broke, but you get to keep a certain amount, then the state will come in and pay the bill, but not until she's broke. However, in the state of Florida, pensions are exempt. Pensions are exempt. So very often, let's say they had CDs in both their names, they can go and take that CD and buy a five-year pension, which is called an immediate annuity, which would then pay the other spouse an income for the next 5 years, basically paying back all that money plus interest. Now the person going in the nursing home is broke, and the state will pay the bill. Understand, here comes an attorney. They have words for this. I call it a Medicaid trust.
Right.
But that's my words for this phrase. They use a different word longer that makes it sound like they need more fee. but literally, these are things when we counsel I've had it's kind of a joke, but it's not really. I tell my clients, especially the widows or widowers that don't have somebody they're living with, I said, okay, one day you're going to die. I want you to take my card and put it on your file box or your safe or wherever the kids are that are going to find it, and put a note with that says, I'm dead, call Joe. Now, I hate to tell you, Dave, I've had a number of people over the years say, well, my dad had this note there, says I'm supposed to call you. I need to get an attorney because dad died and we need to settle his estate. And I said, well, hate to tell you, but I'm going to settle your dad's estate for you in 5 minutes because I know what your dad has and you don't need an attorney. Here's what we need to do. Death certificates, we got beneficiary's name, we got things done. You don't need to go through an attorney in courts. Now, most attorneys that you and I know might say, okay, fine. They would help him with all that stuff and charge him X.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I charge nothing to do that because these were clients of mine. So there are things that we try. Just another example, husband and wife. They, years ago, put together two trusts. They usually call them A, B, meaning he's A, she's B. And the reason they put together two trusts, because it used to be that only 650 or 75,000 could pass
right.
without estate tax.
Right.
Now today it's $5.5 million.
It's almost, yeah.
Yeah. So back then, let's say they had $2 million or $1.5 million. Well, they divvy it up and put half of it in his estate, half in hers. And so it could pass when one of them dies without estate tax. And then the second one, hopefully, die when the law changes and it would get more.
Well, you got something new now, Joe. It's not new. Several years old now, where it's portable. So
yeah.
that the wife gets both the husband and their own. So
yes,
it exempts a lot of assets.
Temporarily.
Well,
unless it's over $5.5 million.
No,
but
$5.5 and $5.5 million, Joe, you'd get up to $11 million.
Nice. Well, I need to find a rich woman.
Yeah.
Anyway, so anyway, what happened was, here now, they sold their house. They sold everything. They had nothing, and they're living in a retirement community. And I've got TOD agreements on their bank accounts. We've got beneficiaries on their insurance contracts, and I've got TOD on their brokerage account. And I said, you know, I hate to tell you, you don't even need a will anymore. You need nothing because you don't have anything. You're living in this rental place. The pieces of memorabilia that you've got, your sisters, daughters, grandsons, they know what they're going to get. You don't want to go through the court system to hand out some jewelry and stuff. You don't need any kind of trust or will. There was nothing to go through any kind of system. So there are some exceptions to why a will and or a trust might come in handy. But the bottom line is they were at this final phase of life where they didn't have assets anymore. Their only assets.
A bit of advice to them too, Joe. Talk about assets.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a good idea for most people a little older, should take an inventory of what they have.
Of course.
Put it on a piece of paper. In your safe.
Yeah.
That's essential, and a lot of people don't do that. And you were mentioning just a couple of minutes ago about helping people to settle their estate without an attorney, but that's part of the great benefit of your team, Joe, if you came across a situation where, we need to get an attorney involved, you've got Greg Fasula.
Yep, right away. And Greg Strader, I mean, if he'd come in there and say, Greg, I need an attorney to settle this, he'd look at it and say, no, you don't. I mean, that's called Greg because he's a good guy. Not every person is going to do that. They're going to look and say, hey, I can make $200 or $500 from putting in a half an hour's worth of work.
I sent him a client a couple of weeks ago. They came back. They were very pleased.
Yep.
A little testament to Greg. Greg is very good at what he does, and he's got a good bedside manner, and he knows what he's doing.
And he's high integrity, which, again, when we put our group together, that was a concept. This, by the way, is a talk show. Thank you again for those of you that prayed last week for my son and for me. But we need to get some phone calls. We're getting poor Pastor Dave sitting here.
Yeah, he's bored.
Yeah.
Oh,
And he's on the board, too.
I'm on the board, and I'm bored.
He's all by himself today. Pastor Tom abandoned him. Karen abandoned you. You're all by yourself.
Even Stumpy left with Stumpy's Pastor gone. Tom, so, yeah.
I mean,
I miss
I was going to take up knitting, Stumpy. Actually. But
Stumpy's going to take up knitting?
No, I was going
to. You know, you look like you could pull off the knitting thing. I get you a shawl.
I could knit.
A prayer shawl.
A prayer shawl.
Yeah, a prayer shawl. Oh. I could do that for sure.
1-888-221-8990. Now, if you don't have questions right now during the show, you don't have to go on the radio, but you can call the show, the radio station, anytime. Pastor Tom, Pastor Dave, Karen will take your name and number, and we'll call you back. If, by chance, anybody that's listening out there, if we did not call you back, which we're not perfect, sometimes things fall apart, don't feel... here, forget the don't feel. Call again. And right. And because our mission here, very simply, is to help you any way we can, and we will. And we had a couple of calls during this session last week where people called in and thanked me for helping them and for our group for helping them and trying to help and do things. And hey, that's why we're here. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990.
Joe, if you don't mind, I'd just like to talk a moment about a subject that has nothing to do with finance, but what has to do with sports.
Oh.
And here's the reason why. You have a lot of people on the air now, pundits, saying this is going to happen in this field, this is going to happen in this field, and they're all over the place with financial matters.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes their advice is pretty decent. Most of the time, it's worth what you paid for. If you paid for nothing, you get no good advice. But the analogy I want to bring out is, as many of you know, I'm from Milwaukee originally. And at the start of the Major League Baseball season, the pundits were basically saying that the bottom team, the team that was going to have the worst record in Major League Baseball, was the Milwaukee Brewers. As we end May, they are the only team in their division above 500, while everybody else is below 500.
Pundits, right. You can, fake pundits, news, fake news.
Fake news.
Callers, Joe Martek, you're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I have a question. Okay. My dad mentioned something about he didn't have a will. On the house, but my mom and dad's name is on the house.
Okay.
If my dad dies first,
right?
Does my mom need a will to proceed with the legal actions, or do they need to draw a will up? Because I have five sisters.
Let me answer this real quick. If that house is deeded to your parents, mom and dad, and it says on the deed husband and wife, or HW, where it designates the fact that they are married, the answer is no. Because automatically, whoever dies first, it goes to the other. But it has to say on the deed, it has to give some kind of reference to the fact that they are married. In the state of Florida, if you're married, you automatically are a partner.
Okay.
Only on the house. Only on the house. Anything else... If your dad has a bank account and your mom's on it as a partner, okay, he dies, it's hers, or vice versa. If they have a bank account in one name and not in the other, it should have what's called a TOD agreement, transfer on death agreement. So there's little documentation that can be taken care of. So your job as a daughter is to say, let me check that deed for mom or dad, both of them, and make sure that it does designate husband and wife.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
1-888-221-8990. And I mean, that's a big thing. It's such a simple thing.
Yeah.
But what gets me, there are people, and you know, normally a closing agent, title company, attorneys, but somehow or other, sometimes they just don't do it. And I figure a bad hair day, had a fight with their husband that morning or a wife, you know, and now this client is a long-term victim of a mistake that didn't need to happen, just did not need to happen. 1-888-221-8990. So Pastor Dave's in there getting inundated with phone calls.
All of a sudden, we got plenty of calls.
Well, thank you. I asked people to call. And by golly, we got a phone call now. Now we're going to get another one, I hope.
But we got plenty of time. We got another 15 minutes.
So the tax code, as we're talking, may happen this year. They think there might be something actually
happening. Yes, there may be, but I don't put a lot of weight on it.
I don't either.
I think it's going to take another year before anything really gets to fruition.
I think midterm elections are looking more and more important.
Yes, they are. And I think this will be a big part of it. Because, Trump has a lot to overcome.
Oh, boy.
He's got a lot to overcome. And what he's proposing is all very good.
For the economy.
But I think he's going to get resistance from both sides because of the cost.
So what we're hoping is, personally, the guy got elected. Let's pray for him. Let's hope that he does things that are right for this country. Yep. And that's what we're looking to do. And we're all hoping and praying that that's exactly what happens. So it's going to be an interesting period of time. But I think he came in like a bull in a china shop, and the owners of all the china are tripping him.
I think he's riding his ship. I think he's learning how to be president. Yeah. And he was never a politician, so he doesn't know how to run the state of government.
He knows how to build a hotel, I understand.
Well, we can't all know everything about everything, and that's why you have a team, Joe.
Sure.
But it's important. I think there are a couple of questions that people should ask about their situation. The number one question when it comes to your affairs after you die
is, you don't have a caller.
But she has a question.
What happens when I die? Who gets what?
Yeah.
And then, depending on the professional that you're seeing, is this the answer that you intended? If the professional says it's going to your Aunt Martha and you wanted it to go to Uncle Joe, you better get that straightened out. The second most important question is, what protection do my heirs have as far as their tax liability?
Sure.
Well, that's a good point about tax liability, because certain assets are still taxable regardless. I mean, I'll give you perfect examples of a 401k plan or any kind of deferred compensation agreement. Somebody pays the tax. And just because they die, that liability doesn't go away upon death. So if you're inheriting an IRA, guess what? You'll be paying tax on it. And we talked about it before. Depending on when you get it, whether the person who left it to you started the distributions or if they didn't. But either way, whichever way you start collecting, you're going to be paying the tax on it.
Some things are not subject to tax. Most things are, right? However,
the advantage is you get a step up in the basis date of death, which is very important.
We
had a caller, a lovely lady by the name of Monica, who did not want to go on the air, but she has a question.
Okay.
Her husband passed about 6 years ago. They're both on the house. Now she's taking care of the house. She does not currently have a will, but she wants, and she says she has nothing really to pass on except the house. She wants to know what to do about getting her kids on a will.
Here's what happens. And it's a real simple one. You go take that other phone call, and I'll answer this one. Monica, here's the bottom line. Your husband died, and you were both on the deed, it sounds like, so now it's your house. Now, you want that house to go to your kids when you die. Okay, you need a will. Boy, it's that simple. And I'm telling, and now a will doesn't need to cost a lot of money. It can be $500 or less dollars. It's very, very simple. I know that might sound like a lot, and I'm gonna tell you right now, if you talk to Greg Fasula and he knew you weren't too wealthy, I can bend him a little bit. He hates it when I do that to him. But Greg's a good guy. He doesn't charge. He's more than fair.
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable. So he's out there to do the right thing for people. And literally, it's going to be very, very hard. What you don't want to do, let me just give you this scenario. You don't want to add your kids to the house now while you're still alive. Mm-hmm. You cause two major problems. One, it may void your homestead, because in order to have a homestead, people have to live in the house. That means if one of your kids got sued, you could lose your house, because if they're on it as part of the owners and it's not homestead protected, that's one. Two, there could be a step-up problem, and Vince would say very simply, your dad bought the house for $50,000 20 years ago. Now it's worth $200,000. If you add the kids to it and you die, they want to sell the house. It goes all the way back to that $50,000, and they owe the tax on the gain because it's not a homestead. So you here comes the will, and that's an important thing.
Very important.
Very important. Another caller here. Caller, Joe Martek, you're on the radio.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Good afternoon. My name is Eric, and I am a new married man for the past 2 years. And in my younger years, when I was 20, I bought my first property, and it's my homestead. And it's in a really neat area in Melbourne Beach. And the property that I was assessed at taxation-wise for annual property taxes has remained very low because I purchased it in 2002 and never, you know,
you got it homesteaded, right?
I'm homesteaded in my name. And so the concern was, would I trigger a reassessment value if I went and put my wife on the deed?
I don't think so. And I'm not 100% positive on that, but I don't think so. What happens is this. You're not changing anything except you got married and you want to have a designation for husband and wife. So it's a bit different than if you had a child or somebody else you're living. And she's going to live in that house with you, so the homestead stays intact. What I would do, very simply, go down to your county office, the clerk, say you want to talk to somebody in charge of deeds, and then go to the property appraiser and literally ask them that question. If I add my wife to the house, will it change my assessed value, or will it change my homestead? And they're going to tell you the straight skinny, whatever the rules are, but I'm pretty sure that you're not going to have any liability by it's a bad enough liability getting married, but then after, forget that part, never mind. Anyway,
this is a Christian state.
I know.
Anyway. Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Anyway, all I'm trying to say is that I would literally go down to the courthouse and just talk to them, the county clerk's office, and then to the property appraiser and the register of deeds, and say, I want to add my wife to the house. Will this affect my appraisal, my taxes, or my homestead? And I don't think it will.
Okay, so I'll do that. The second piece to this is she, since we've been married, has entered into a debt forgiveness program for student loans, and she's about 2 years in, and obviously reading the paperwork and the underlying bylaws of all that is that it's not permanent that she may be forgiven of the debt in 8 years or eight more years. She's 2 years into it. And so my primary concern was about the homestead possibly being hit with that, as well as other properties that I have in my name, if they were deeded to her as well, if she was put on the deed.
What now you're opening up another can of worms, and this is a tough one. Vince, I don't know. When you have a forgiveness agreement on a student loan, and that student loan agreement can be voided based on changes in your financial structure. Now
changes in our financial structure, but also with Congress, they could change the whole process.
Does your wife work for a health maintenance organization or a hospital or something like that?
She actually works for her own nonprofit, so she's entered into the program to be forgiven of the debt. For any political changes or anything of that nature I can't foresee that.
But that would require her to keep current on her agreement, and then after a point in time, the rest of it gets forgiven as long as she's still employed and she's current. Correct.
Let me give you Let me give you another suggestion.
Well, can I just finish the thought? As long as she maintains that agreement and makes the payments, she should be fine. If she doesn't, then you might have a tax issue on that forgiveness, assuming that it would still be illegal at that point. Because if you default, it could go back to square one anyway.
Now, here's one more suggestion. Here comes an attorney. Trust. A revocable living trust puts things...
That's what I was thinking about.
I think you really... You sound like a perfect candidate for that, because if you have other properties, they go into the trust. The trust is now not subject to probate, and you can structure this properly so that these unforeseens don't get in the way.
All right. That's where the Lord was kind of leading me to all along, and I just wanted to get feedback from you gentlemen. So I do appreciate that very much, and that is definitely a required attorney job right there to prepare all that.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and a trust, when you do a trust, it also has a power of attorney included with it. It has the healthcare surrogate, would have different parts of the whole package that were there to protect both of you. And you have
people in their 30s normally do something like
Yeah, that? I'm telling you what, you know, you can die anytime you want. It's amazing how that works. You don't have to be old to die.
This is not, it's not age restricted, Cole.
Well, this isn't meaning implying anything about age, but just that you know.
You're smart enough, but you're young enough and smart enough to ask these questions and take care of it. A lot of people don't even think that they don't know. They're ignorant.
But here's the other side of the coin. It's called the once you do this trust, it's done. You can add and subtract and do things your entire life. But if you have an estate, quote, you have more than a pack of gum, and you want to protect it from outside influences. Okay, two packs of gum, Vince. Vince is laughing over here.
Well, you have a pack of gum.
That's your estate. But once you have an income property or two, I lean heavily on a trust right away.
Yes,
you want to make sure that...
Now, one of the properties is one quarter owned by my brother. So that complicates things, but the other two are owned fully outright by me. So what would that entail?
Well, back to the attorney. The one quarter owned by your brother, he would have to join in and agree to let it be in the trust, but there's not a big deal and you know, on that one quarter ownership.
Okay. And then the last piece of that, would that trigger a reassessment for property taxes?
I doubt it. I doubt it very much. Back again.
Okay.
Here comes the attorney. Right. And back again to the going to the county building. I would ask them those questions because they've got statute right there that says, bam, here's what it says. But I don't see reassessments at all. If you have only one that is not subject to reassessment is your homestead. Everything else is subject to whatever the county property or tax appraisers do. And you going in and adding a person or subtracting a deed or adding a trust should have no effect on that. But again, go to your county clerk, write down those questions, get the people, have them show you in writing what it says in their statute. And so it should not be a problem.
Thank you, gentlemen. You all have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, caller.
And I think, are we running out of time?
You have about 5 minutes, Jim.
Guess what? Pastor Dave asked a favor, in which I would never hurt him. He said, please, Joe, ask people. He didn't say don't ask people to call. He said, ask him not to call during the last 5 minutes because he's busy all by himself, one arm paper hanging. But we got another call.
Take that call.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Mr. Martek.
Yes, it is.
Good afternoon or good evening. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. And how are you?
I'm doing good. Just coming from work. And let me tell you something, man. I don't want time out on me, but you guys are doing one of the most important jobs in this country. You are enlightening people, and people got to listen to you.
Thank you.
This is my question. I called last week, 2 weeks ago, and I told you, asked you about buying a house and stuff like that, and if the price I was paying would be too much, and you said that was okay. But guess what? I am separated from my wife 2 years ago, but we still talk, and, you know, if she wants anything to do, I do it. I said to her, would you sign the paper for me? Because I need somewhere to live. She said, yeah. Then after I've paid for everything and the appraisal, paid out on the title, she came back, she said, no, she's not doing it. Now, she said because she called the title company. The title company says, listen, anything happen out there, they're coming at you, and whatever you got, they take it because Ray Ray and Brata. Now I need somewhere to live, and the only option I see right now to get a place is to be good.
Well, welcome to the real world. I hate to tell you, you're in trouble.
We can't recommend divorce to you.
I can't recommend anything, but the bottom line is you shouldn't have got married.
No. I'll give you a line my grandson gives me. No.
All I'm trying to say, I understand the situation, and I wish we could help you, but I don't know anything that can be done. And if she's not willing to agree to do certain things that she agreed to, it's what can you do? Yeah, you better be nice to her is what I'm trying to say, and get her to sign something. What else can you do?
Well, I mean, nice, and she said she's not saying I can't live on the street. I need somewhere to live.
You know what the bottom line is here?
Yeah.
Is you've got to take care of these things before they become issues like this.
You know, this is called
in a divorce situation. I have a client right now who's going through this. Yeah. Once the wife agreed to turn over her half of the business to him.
So much for that. Well, you ever heard of the horse in the barn? In other words, mm-hmm. You close the door on the barn. After the horse gets out, it's too late.
Yep.
So now you're going to have to go chase that horse and be nice to it, because if you want to get back on the couch.
And if you close the door, the horse will never go back in.
That's it. So, listen.
The point is this, that she tell me leave her home because, I mean, it's her house. I don't want nothing from her here. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. She told me leave. No, I want somewhere to live. She agreed to sign. No, she said, well, no, I'm not signing it. Well, if that's the case, it's a wife already. I know, due respect, whatever you're doing, wife is beneficiary and stuff like that. I wasn't doing things like that. Well, then, I was just doing it on my behalf. But while she's not up to the standard, all I have to do is divorce her.
Well,
I can't do no better because I need to get somewhere.
I know. Hey, listen, Pastor Dave sitting over here saying, if you talk to me nice, I'll pray for this guy because he's in trouble.
Prayer would be a good...
Prayer's a good thing. Yeah. And I would, is your wife a Christian lady?
Yes.
Go talk to her and say, let's pray about this. And I mean, honestly, go get with her and kneel down and see if she can get her.
She told me already, whatever you want to do. Because as long as you tell me, come on, Mr. Matic, I'm not coming back because you should have known better.
Well, I'm telling, listen. I hate to tell you, you got a personal problem, and none of us can help you with that. But maybe God, I can commiserate with you, but maybe God can help you. But you might need to pray on this and get her, and maybe it'll work out. But hey, we're running out of time on the show. Good luck. Call me back when you have good news.
All right.
Pray for God to bless you, Gerald, and your wife.
Yes.
And for
the
best possible result.
You know, it's the journey of life.
Heartbreaking.
The journey of life. You know.
But it's just, you said something earlier, Joe, or maybe it was Vince, about how these rough moments actually, well, you did, Joe. You said during these rough times in life, we actually can be a turning point.
Yeah, for us. Yeah.
And so for this gentleman here, it's a rough time. I understand that. A lot of pain, a lot of emotional distress. God loves to come into the midst of that and bring healing. Let's pray for healing for Gerald and his wife.
Absolutely.
And I would tell you, we pray for them. And listen, and I said that, go back to that lady as a Christian lady. Kneel down and ask God for guidance, and maybe they can work something out. You know, mm-hmm. it can happen. All right, I think we're just about out of time.
We got
15 seconds. Final words from our attorney.
I was just going to say that sometimes you have to take the emotion out of it, and that's the best way of helping people. Yep. Sometimes you get emotionally involved, you sometimes make mistakes.
Yep. 1-888-221-8990. Call that number anytime except now. And then and then Pastor Dave, Pastor Tom, or Karen will take your number and have us call you back. Thank you so much for all the calls.
Thank you all, callers. God bless you.
All right.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.